Why do you say that we live in a world that is atypical of planet Earth over most of its 4.6 billion year long history? In other words, our modern Earth is not typical of the way Earth has been over almost all of its history.
Well, I've been trying to figure out if we had a good time machine and you and I could go back to any time in Earth history and just step out on Earth's surface, how much of that total time, of that 4.6 billion years, would we be happy on the surface and not really rapidly die? And it might be no more than 10 or 20% of the entire time the Earth is there. Has there been an atmosphere which could support us? We're really in a moment we think is normal, right? 21% oxygen, that's what we have. Most of the rest is nitrogen. And we're used to that. And you think, oh, that can't change. It's like the sea. You know, the sea is forever. The air is forever. But it's only been a very short time that air has had the concentration of oxygen, and we sure need it. That's good for us.
As a matter of curiosity, at one time or another, the Earth had quite some bit more oxygen, right?
It did indeed. I think that's one of the most fascinating times of all. It's 300 million years ago, and because of that oxygen, it was just early in the time when animals were just climbing out of the water. And I just had a paper accepted by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences showing that land life would not have climbed out and succeeded on the surface of our planet unless oxygen was higher.
If oxygen levels were still in the 30 percentile range, I guess that's what it was, right?
Yep.
If oxygen right now were at that level, would we be walking around and still enjoying Earth day to day?
Well, we may not enjoy it because the amount of forest fires would make the sky absolutely yellow. We would be choking on all the smoke. We would be spending all of our kids' young lives drafted into the fire service because, of course, when oxygen goes so high, the amount of fires set by lightning in forests is frightening. It just would have been a hideous world.
Okay. Peter, as a matter of curiosity, what changed, what do we know about the changes that brought the oxygen level down?
Yeah, that's really tricky. It's certainly not my line of work, but I'm trying to get my head around it. There's a very famous geologist named Robert Berner at Yale University. He was the first to say, hey, look, folks, it hasn't been this 21% forever. And he started pointing out evidence for and against. But it's easy to see why there could be more oxygen. One way, you simply get more plants. So let's say we have lots of carbon dioxide, we get more plants, we get more oxygen. But how do you pretty rapidly make it drop? And it turns out it's not anything that I would have thought of, or most people would have. It turns out it's got to do with the amount of carbon and the chemical state of the carbon, and just as importantly, the amount of sulfur that's present to air. If there's lots of things for oxygen to bond to in large amounts, you can start reducing the amount of oxygen in the atmosphere.
Okay. Let's say we're at what? About 21% right now?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's fallen from the 30s down to 21%. What I'm curious about, Peter, is if that should continue to fall, at what point would we begin to feel uncomfortable not having enough?
Well, it did fall, actually, after that 30%. It made it all the way down to as little as 11%. And at 11%, that's equivalent to you and me standing at somewhere between 14 and 16,000 feet. I've been at 14,005, and here's the irony. I was there on the Big Island of Hawaii. I had commandeered a helicopter and flew it up over the observatories, and I was about 14,500. The helicopter was not happy up there, and I wasn't happy up there either. But way back, and this was about 200 million years ago, that was what atmospheric pressure in oxygen was at sea level. So if you were some poor animal climbing up even a few hundred feet, I mean, you're dead. So we're really looking at a time in the Mesozoic, the start of the age of dinosaurs, when oxygen plummeted. And my new point of view in this book I've just written is that's why there were dinosaurs. Dinosaurs, and according to my interpretation, were the best low-oxygen animals to have ever been on the face of the planet.
That's odd. You would think that a dinosaur, because they were generally thought of as quite large for the most part, would require very large oxygen levels. They would have large bodies, large circulatory systems, and they would need a great deal of oxygen, you would think.
Well, they would. The first dinosaurs were not large. They were actually small. They were chicken-sized, some up to, say, the volume of a dog, but they're skinny. They were bipedal. And for the first 20 million years of their existence, there were no big dinosaurs because oxygen was at its absolute lowest. And then after that, it started rising rapidly. But you've got these animals that had evolved a respiratory system, and we still see that system. We see it in birds. And the reason I really stumbled on this, I was talking to a friend, and he said, you know, it's amazing. I heard about a climber who made it up to the very top of Mount Everest. And he looked up, and several thousand feet over his head, they're standing up there at 27,000 feet or whatever it is, 29,000, and right over the top of his head were geese. They're called bar-headed geese. They have been seen up to 35,000 feet. Now, not only are they breathing at a place that would kill you and me very rapidly, they're not just breathing, they're doing the most strenuous aerobic exercise on the planet, flying. Now, how in the world could a bird do that? And it turns out that birds have the same respiratory system that dinosaurs did because birds came from dinosaurs.
Well, right. I lost a bet a long time ago about that. Somebody told me birds were the last surviving dinosaurs. They were actually from dinosaurs. And I said, oh, baloney. And, of course, I lost.
No, they are dinosaurs in a tactical sense because that's the same lineage that goes on. But, you know, once it's in your brain that it's a bird. So they're bird-like, they will stay, at least in the vernacular.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the history of Earth changing in the way you have described, then one would imagine, as history generally does, it will repeat itself. What do you think?
Yeah, that's what really spooks me, Art. What goes up must go down. And I like to think of the history of, because your listeners can't have a view graph in front of them. It's pretty easy, though, in your mind to see what the history of oxygen has been for the last 400 million years. Think of a W. 400 million years ago, it was high, and then it dropped down to about 350, and then went back up to 300, and it was really high. And then it dropped down to a minimum of 200, and then from 200 to the present day, it goes back up to modern levels. So it's just pretty simple, a big down, a big up, a big, big, big down, and then an up. But we're under conditions now, I think, that are going to lead to more than a W. So I really think we're going to start seeing the down again.